From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. So each month we watch a documentary together for what we call Econ Extra Credit. And this month it is a feature film based on real history. Killers of the Flower Moon is actually out in theaters now. Members of the Native American Osage Nation were forced onto land that was agriculturally poor. Couldn't do a lot with it. Then, it turned out, there was a lot of oil there. The film tells the story from the 1920s of a reign of terror faced by the Osage people as white Americans tried to extract that oil wealth through exploitation, graft, and murder. At the center of this was a legal concept called guardianship. And for more on this, we've got Allison Herrera. She's a senior reporter for the investigative journalism outfit APM Reports, which is owned by the same parent company as Marketplace. She covers indigenous affairs. Allison, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Sabri.
So there is this legal concept of guardianship. People might be familiar with this from the story of Britney Spears after she fought to have her guardian removed a couple years ago. But this is basically somebody else being granted the authority to tell you how you can and cannot spend your money. It has a long legal history, which we see in Killers of the Flower Moon. Can you explain what we see there?
Yes, guardianships stem from this racist, paternalistic policy that was put in place by the federal government in the early 20th century that basically deemed Native people incompetent to run their own affairs and manage their own money. You know, the policy was first implemented ultimately to protect Osages from being exploited by non-Indians, but it ended up not being that way. So in 1912, the United States government passed this law that said Osage citizens who were more than half-blood were deemed incompetent. You may remember a scene from the film Killers of the Flower Moon where Molly Burkhart has to go into the office and she has to read off her allotment number and say incompetent. And so that's basically the system that people operated under.
What kind of legal landscape developed around this?
So that's a really good question. And this goes back to Oklahoma statehood. There was an act that was put in place called the Oklahoma Enabling Act. And what this did was it made a lot of provisions and laws for Oklahoma to enter into the union. And the act laid out that in matters of Indian affairs, that was to be left between the federal government because of the trust responsibility it has for tribal nations. But shortly after statehood in 1907, you had all of these businessmen, these landowners, cattlemen, that lobbied really hard to give local courts and judges in eastern Oklahoma control over probates and wills and estates. And that allowed for, you know, judges to appoint their friends and, you know, family as guardians over these Osages. And in 1924, another congressional hearing that I read, it was held over headright payments and guardianships. And Chief Bakenrein, the former chief of the Osage at that time, complained to the commissioner about guardianships and the payment restrictions and said that it just unfairly put a target on Osages' backs.
So even in death, the access to wealth was kind of diverted legally.
Yes. I mean, I did some reporting about a woman named Lily Morell Burkhart. She was not related to Molly Burkhart or the Kyle sisters. But this was in 1967. After she passed away, her will went into this lengthy probate in Osage County. And her then divorced husband, Byron Burkhart, was able to claim that he was her common law husband through the courts. And then it was able to get a salary off of her estate that the judge had said, yes, even though y'all were divorced, you were her common law husband, and therefore you're entitled to her salary and part of her belongings and part of her estate. So, I mean, this isn't something that was just in the 1920s. This was even, you know, later in the 60s and 70s.
A central figure in the film involved in the exploitation of the Osage tribe and land is William Hale. In the movie, he is played by Robert De Niro. He ends up going to prison for murder, and then there arises the question of who gets his land. The guardianship system is, again, a big part of that story arc. Can you explain how?
Yeah, so his guardians were Roy Cecil and Fred Gettner Drummond. And Roy Cecil Drummond is the great-grandfather of the current Oklahoma Attorney General, Gettner Drummond, and rancher Lad Drummond, who's married to Food Network star Ree Drummond. They used money from an award that they had named Myron Bangs Jr. Roy Cecil and his brother, Fred Gettner, were his financial guardians. And Fred Gettner, you know, he ran this family store, and he used 15 $15,000 from Banks Jr.'s account, that's his ward, in payment for Hale's land. And then he repaid it from another account. So, you know, Banks Jr. fought to have this guardianship removed because he felt that there was corruption was going on. And this was a person that flew an airplane. He served in the U.S. Army. And so he hired this accountant to audit his books and was partially successful in a lawsuit to have the Drummonds removed as his financial guardians. And so that's how guardianships factored into the sale of Osage land. You know, people would borrow money from their ward's accounts as a down payment for this really valuable ranching land.
Is there a legacy today of this guardianship system? Do Osages still talk about it?
You know, the policy of deeming someone incompetent because of their blood quantum is gone. But the subject is really painful to talk about. One woman I interviewed before the movie even came out, this was before the summer, she talked about how her mother was abused by her guardian. And there's even a highway named after this particular guardian in Osage County. Last week, you know, I attended this event in Ponca City. That's near the Osage Reservation, where a friend of mine was giving a talk about the guardianship system. And the room was packed full of non-Native people. And I could hear people's reactions of shock and awe when they heard about this system, you know, something that, you know, was about 100 years ago that people just still didn't realize was happening in the state, in their county, to their neighbors. And so we were sitting in this fabulous historic house built by an oil baron by the name of E.W. Marland, talking about guardians, and people were on the edge of their seat. So I think that the movie has prompted a lot of discussion about this racist policy. And I think people are starting to talk about it more openly.
Allison Herrera is a senior reporter covering Indigenous affairs for the investigative journalism outfit APM Reports. Allison, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sari, for having me on.